Good morning. It's been a good place to be. I felt the Spirit this morning. I like it when I can come in and feel the Spirit moving and know that people have made their minds up that they want to come and they want to have church instead of just coming to a place to sit. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 1 this morning. I like it when God confirms the message through testimonies. I was sitting studying last night and reading and meditating on what God wanted me to do and what God wanted me to preach. And I'd had an idea from a couple weeks ago. How many of you will agree that it is harder to live a Christian life than it is to live a sinner life? Amen. I mean, it is. It's harder. You have laws, you have rules, you have guidelines that God wants you to live by, where when you live in a worldly life, a sinner life, the lost life, you have free realm to do what you want and what you please. You're your boss. You do what you want. So when you start putting stipulations on people, it starts making it hard. For some people, it's hard to make it to work on time. You ever know anybody like that? He's the owner of a company, so I would imagine he's had one down through his years of owning a business that some people just cannot get to work on time. I'm glad I'm not a boss. I'd fire you. I hate it. I hate to be late. If I'm going to be late, I'd rather not go. It's just the way I am. But some people have trouble with that. Some people have trouble in all different aspects of life. And Brother Darren gave a testimony the other morning. I think it was the other morning or the other night, one. On what if. I've been married 12 years today to that lovely lady in the back, and if I hadn't met her, I can't say that I'd be standing here today. Because before her, church was never on my mind. And when I met her, the only reason I went to church was because she was there. So God kind of used her as a tool, the way I look at it, because I had no interest in whatsoever what everybody else was going to church for. I just went for the girl. Now, I got way more than what I intended on going for, but I'm glad that I got them both. Amen. But I look back in life a lot of times, and Darren made the comment that, well, what if Garrett and Tim and Danny and Ray had just decided to not do what God put on their heart? What if? Man, there's a lot of what ifs in life. I counted back. December will make 3 years that we've started this church. And I've kept a log from last, you know, from the first December to coming up. 72 people have said they've come forward and accepted Christ as their Savior.
Praise the Lord.
In less than 3 years. And it's not anything that I've done or Danny or Tim or anybody else. It's what God's done. But I thought, what if somebody hadn't stepped out? Where would those 72 people be? What if I hadn't met her? Where would I be? And there's a lot of times in my life, what ifs come up, and I bask in them. I get down, I get deterred, because a Christian life is a hard life to live. And I start thinking, well, what if? What if this or what if that? I work a full-time job. I'm building a house. I'm married. I've got two children. I pastor a church. Sometimes it gets long hours. And I sit down and I go over there and I work until dark most of the time. And I come in, sit down, take my boots off for the first time. And I sit down in my chair and the phone ring. And somebody will say, can you meet me? I need to talk. Yep. Where do you want to meet at? We'll go meet. And there's sometimes I'll go, I'm driving back home and I thought, what if I just quit? I'd have more time to do what I want to do. I could do anything that I wanted. What if? And it's the worldly man coming out of me. It's the devil drawing me down saying, hey, if you quit, you can do anything you want, anytime that you want, and nobody can say anything to you. What if? And listen, this is not about Garrett. I'm going to get to the message here in just a second. But I'm sure that each and every one of you here that's nodding your heads look at the same thing and say, well, what if I don't go to church on Wednesday and Sundays? There's a lot more time in my week that I could have. What if I don't read my Bible? What if I don't pray? What if I don't meditate on God? There's a lot of other things that I could be doing besides that. What if God is not real? You ever thought of that one? I've been so low that I've questioned whether what I'm doing is right or not. I've been hurt so bad that I've questioned whether I need to keep going or not. What if I just quit? I've got that low. I've got to the place in life where I've said, I'm done. If that's the way people want to act, I don't want to go back. I'll just sit at home, read my Bible myself, and let God speak to me that way. What if? If you haven't got it yet, that's the title of my message this evening, or this morning. But Darren's testimony brought back a lot of times in my life, and then I got to thinking, I'm glad that I don't serve a God that is what if. I serve a God that says I can. Because all the times that I sat there with my little lip dragging the ground and my head bowed down, I'd say, oh, what if? What if? And man, that still small voice would tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, it's not about what if. It's about I can. If you'll just trust me and if you'll just lean on me, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. It's not what we do, it's what Christ does through us. We're just a tool, like my wife was to get me in church. We're just a tool leading somebody else to Christ. And a lot of times you hear people say, well, you know, a Christian life is a great and grand and glorious life. It is. But man, it's a hard one too. I never want to mislead anybody. But the one thing that I've never heard in 16 years of being saved, I have never heard one individual come back to me or testify or say anywhere in the world that I regret getting saved. Not one. Never have I heard that. I've seen people come in, say they get saved and go out, and they live the same way that they did before they come in here. I don't judge anything off them. They never got saved. But somebody that truly repents of their sin, walks towards Christ, pressed towards the marks, I've never, not yet in my life, seen somebody come up and say, you know what, I regret the day that I got saved. You know what that tells me? God's real.
Amen.
This many people can't gather in one place, under one roof, read one Bible, believe in one God, and Him not be real. You can't get it. You go and you look at Buddhist and Hinduism and all these other gods and all these other things and all these other people. They're scattered out. They're all over the place. They don't know what they believe. They don't know who they believe in. But I know in whom I believe. I trust that He is the God, the one that created everything in the beginning, and He's the one that created us. It's not a matter of what if. It's a matter of I can. Do you have that mentality this morning? Are you stuck on the what ifs in life? Or are you knowing and resting in Jesus Christ and you know that you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's enough. We don't have to read on any farther. I know that the God that I served one day sat down in the portals of time and said, you know what? It's time to start it. I'm going to create the heavens. I'm going to create the earth. Look what it says in verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God sat down, decided that He would make a place called earth. He looked at the earth and it was without anything. It was full of darkness and void. And he looked upon it and he said, that's not enough. I'm going to create something, and I'm going to create something that is beautiful. I'm going to create something that is worth something. He didn't like that it was just darkness, so he created a light. God said in chapter 1 and verse 3, he said, let there be light, and there was light. I believe with everything in me that God created the sun. God created the moon. God created the earth that we are walking on this morning. I believe that God created that. Now you may believe that you evolved from a monkey. I feel sorry for you. You may believe that it just all of a sudden a big boom happened in the sky and all of this appeared. I feel sorry for you. But I believe that there's a God sitting in heaven. And I believe that there's one sitting right beside Him on the right hand side.
Amen.
And I believe that when we pray that our prayers make it to heaven. I don't know how sometimes. I really don't know how my prayers make it to heaven. Because when I get in that state of what if, God still loves me. And I don't understand why, but He's looking right beside of His Father. And when we pray, He'll turn to the Father and say, hey, you know what? This one believes in me and I've paid for him. Will you listen to him? And man, it's a great and glorious feeling.
Amen.
When one of our prayers gets answered. How many times has somebody prayed for you? You ever sat down and thought about that? How many times somebody went to sleep praying for you? Whether you was a young man or woman out in the world, and your mommy and daddy was praying for you that you would just make it home safe, that nothing would happen to their baby. Or maybe you're the mommy and daddy that's praying for the kids out there that are out living in a worldly life, and you pray night in and night out that they just make it home. I feel sorry for my mom and dad. I really do. I wandered. I was like a dog looking for a bone. There's no telling when I would come home. Mom and dad wasn't saved back then. But mom would still be up. At 2 or 3 in the morning, she'd be sitting up with a lamp on. I'd walk in, I'd kick my boots off, and she'd get up and she'd go to bed. How many times did I cause her pain? How many times did I cause her to lose sleep? How many times did I call her and say, hey, I've wrecked again. I flipped my truck up on its top. It's laying out here in the middle of the road. And I need you and Dad to come help. Are you all right? Yeah, I'm fine. We're on our way. I remember one time I was sick. I just got out of high school and had a job and didn't have no insurance, so I couldn't afford to go to the doctor because I couldn't pay the doctor bill. And I laid in bed for weeks. And finally, Mom came in there and she said, hey, something has got to be done. You can't lay here any longer. And I have a distant cousin that he's a doctor, and he agreed that if they'd bring me in, that he would do blood work on me and try to figure out what was the matter with me. And I remember my mom bowing down and trying to pray. But she wasn't saved. That's the first time that I can ever remember hearing my mom pray. And she just asked God to take care of her son. Because they didn't have no idea what was the matter with me. They took me down there and they thought it was my gallbladder and all this other stuff. And they drawed blood and finally I'd got better. But what if I hadn't got better? What if that was the last time that I would have ever got presented to be saved? I'd have died and went to hell. Because I had heard the preached word. It had been presented to me. And I didn't accept it. I'd rejected it. So at that time, what if for me would have been hell? But God created everything. God made it. God said it was good. Look what it says in verse 4. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. Verse 5. And God called the light day. And the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. I honestly believe that with all my heart. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth, and in 6 days He created everything that we see. And on the seventh day, He said, you know what? I need a break. It's time for me to sit down. I think we ought to keep the Sabbath holy. I think it's a thing set aside by God that God did it, made it in 6 days, and the seventh day He rested. I think we ought to do the same if we can very well keep to God's Word. But God created everything, and it still wasn't enough. It still wasn't enough that God created all that we see. How many of you have ever traveled to like Hawaii or somewhere beautiful? I mean, West Virginia is beautiful. I'd rather be in West Virginia than anywhere else that I've ever traveled. But so many things that you can see out there that God created. Stuff like that marvels me. You drive up around Logan and these pinnacle rocks that just stick up out of a ridge. And they ain't 15 foot wide on the bottom, but at the top they're 60 and 70 foot wide. And I think, why did God create that like that? Man didn't do that. Squirrels didn't chew on it and get it that way. God said, hey, I want this rock to be like this. And I think, well, why? I think because He knew some poor hillbilly would come around them mountains and sit and bask and look at a rock and think, man, God had to do that. There has to be a God in order for things to be like this. You know when my eyes really got open? The day that we invited my son into this world. And I held him in my hands, and I thought, man, God did this. There's no other way. There's no way that you can explain the creation of mankind without God being in it. And I held that baby and listened to him cry the first time, and I thought, my, oh, my, what God's blessed us with. The very first one, God decided to take. We got all excited. We told everybody that we was going to have a child, and then she lost it. There was a lot of what ifs on that one. I sat and I'd bask and think, God, why? I'm living the very best that I can live. I'm doing the very best that I can. Why'd you have to take it? Why? What if? There's a lot of things that's left unquestioned in God's Word. There's a lot of things that's left unquestioned in our life. But I can tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, He's a God of I cans. There's a lot more I cans in life. But what if God hadn't created the heavens and the earth? Look on over in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in His own image, and in the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish and over the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. If God had never created earth, God would have never created you. I believe that God took His hands and in a street or in a road somewhere, He gathered up the dust. He formed man. He formed woman in the image of Himself and of God. And the Bible says that He kneeled down, leaned over, and breathed the breath of life into that thing's nostrils. Friends, that's where you come from. That's how you got here. And I believe that with everything that's in me, that God did that one day. If you don't believe that, you cannot be a Christian. Amen. If you don't believe that God created the heavens and the earth, and if you don't believe that God created mankind, you are not saved. You have to believe it. It's part of God's Word. It's part of God's way of life. It is creation in itself. If you are in here and you're stuck on evolution, I'm sorry. You have to get unstuck to be saved. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God and that He died and took your place upon a cross and He shed His blood so that we may be set free. You have to believe that to be saved. You say, well, I believe it. I believe it. Well, sometimes believing is not enough. The Bible says that the devils and the demons believe and tremble. And they're lost and in hell. Well, what are you talking about, preacher? What if? What if I die believing that there's a God and I've never accepted it? You'll go to hell. It's not enough just to believe that there's a God. It's not enough to walk outside and see all of God's splendors and all of God's glory and believe that there really is a God. You have to accept it. You have to accept that Jesus is who He says He is. How do I know who He says He is? By hearing the preached word. Tim quoted it. Danny quoted it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God will send somebody in your path to tell you that He's real. That's the reason it's so important to share your testimony. You may be the only gospel that they ever hear about. They may never come to church. You don't have to be in a church house to be saved. Glad that you're here this morning. I'm excited that each and every one of you is here. But what if you hadn't made it this morning? So if God hadn't created the heavens and the earth, God couldn't have created us. There'd have been nowhere for us to be. Nowhere for us to go. Turn over to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, God's chosen people, the Israelites, was in bondage in a place called Egypt under a man named Pharaoh. He worked them as slaves. He made them build his pyramids. He made them do all the work. And they was happy and content being where they was at, but yet they was murmuring in the same sentence. They wanted to flee Egypt. God spoke to a man called Moses out of a burning bush. I believe with all my heart that there was a bush burning in the middle of a desert somewhere and it would not consume itself. And I believe that God spoke through that bush to a man wandering around in the wilderness and his name was Moses. And he said, "Hey Moses, I need you to do a job for me to go down to Egypt and deliver my children out of Egypt." Folks, if you can't believe that, you better step back and punt. It happened. These are not just stories in here. These are real live accusations. They really happened. Moses wandered with it. He wallowed with it. And he said, "You know what? I guess I need to go." He goes down to Egypt and he tells Pharaoh, "Hey, you need to let my people go." Pharaoh said, "Yes and no. Yes and no. Yes and no. Yes and no." Until finally it got so bad on Pharaoh, God hardened his heart so bad that Pharaoh said, "You know what? Get out and we'll pay you to leave. Get out and we'll pay you to leave." It said that the men and the women of Egypt lined up down the streets and they gave the children of Israel gold, rubies, and all these other precious things to watch them leave. They'd got sick of seeing what God was capable of. The children of Israel walk out of Egypt. God hardened Pharaoh's heart again, and he takes off after him. "I paid him to leave, and now I'm going to get him back." So he takes off after him. The children of Israel look around and see Egypt coming behind them, and they start to murmur. "Moses, you should have just left us in Egypt. We was there, we was being fed, and we wasn't dead. Now we're going to die, Moses. You've brung us up here. There's a wall of water in front of us. We can't go nowhere. There's a mad army behind us. We can't go nowhere. And now we're going to die. What are you going to do, Moses?" Moses talks to God and God said, "Moses, just take your rod and hang it out over the water. I'll show them again that I'm God, Moses." And Moses just stretched forth his rod out over the water. And God split the Red Sea from the east to the west. And not only did He split the Red Sea, but the children of Israel walked across a seabed that had been water in it for years and years and didn't even get a speck of mud on their shoes. They get to the other side. Pharaoh's men still coming. The chariots are still right behind them. God said, "Well, if they didn't believe that, I'll show them something else." And Pharaoh's men get down in the middle of the Red Sea and God closes the Red Sea on every one of Pharaoh's men. It said not one was left. And they still complained. What if God hadn't split the Red Sea that day? What if God's chosen people would have got to the edge of the Red Sea and God would have had enough of their murmuring and complaining and He said, "You know what, Moses? That's enough. Let Pharaoh take them out." They don't believe in me. They don't trust me. I've fed them. I've watered them. I've done everything that they've asked me to do, and they still don't believe. I think he looks at us sometimes like that. What if? What if Don hadn't walked back there that day? Things might be totally different in your life. I preached on a gift one morning. I had a little old box wrapped and I had it sitting right up here. Well, Jacqueline wrapped it. It was sitting right up here and she'd done a real good job on it. And Don, bless God, you never know what Don's going to do. I was giving the altar call and he gets up and he starts walking. I thought, this man's been saved. He's a deacon in a church up the road up here. What's he coming to the altar for? He comes up, grabs my gift. Everybody's eyes are closed and their heads are bowed. And I'm thinking, well, what's he doing? He walks back there and poor old Greg's standing back there on the outside of the road. When all Don walked up to the end, Greg was standing up and he said, do you want it? He didn't say anything else. He just said, do you want it? And Greg got out and come up front. What if? What if Don hadn't acted on what God had told him to do? Amen. Greg might not be here. Amen. Greg's mom and dad might not be here. Greg's daughter might have not just got saved and baptized just a few weeks ago. There's a lot relies on what ifs. But always remember, God can. God split the Red Sea. The children of Israel went across. God shut the water up on Pharaoh's men and killed them all. But what if that hadn't happened? Turn over to Acts chapter 11. This is a man giving us this accusation right here. His name's Peter. I love Peter. I think myself a lot like Peter. Man, I want to do a lot of good. Sometimes I get scared. Sometimes I get out of the boat. Sometimes I sink. But every now and then, God lets me feel like I've walked on water. Peter is talking to these people here. They're Jewish leaders. And he's telling them that there is going to be another group of people coming in. You see, God's chosen people, the Israelites, not anybody in here I could just about say is Jewish. Probably. If there are, there are very few of us. You're a Gentile, if you don't know that. What if God had never spoke out and said, you know what, we're going to give it to the Gentiles too. You ever think about that? God said, it's just for the Jews. It's just for my chosen few. But look what it says here in Acts chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 14. And when they had told these words, whereby all the house shall be saved, and as it began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as of in the beginning. Then remembered I the word, this is Peter speaking, then remembered I the word of the Lord, that he said, John indeed baptized thee with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For so much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Then they heard these things. They held their peace and glorified God, saying, then God hath also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. That gives you the opportunity to be saved. When God opened the gates and said, you know what, it's not just for the Jews, it's not just for my chosen people. I'm going to send my son to die, and I'm going to send him to die for the whole world. God doesn't care the color of your skin. He doesn't care the nationality. He doesn't care where you come from. He doesn't care what your bank account says. God just knows that you've got a soul and that his son died for you. And you're worthy. Now think this. Look at this. You are worthy for a God that created all the heavens, all the earth, the God that split the Red Sea. You're worthy enough that God will speak to you one day. He'll call you out. And he'll give you a chance to be saved. What if? What if God has called you, and you know that God's called you? Man cannot do what God does to the inside. That day, December the 6th of 2001, I actually thought I was about to have a heart attack. I was 20 years old, 21 years old, and my chest hurt. I was bowed over. I was crying. And I thought, what in the world is the matter with me? I'm healthy and strong as a horse. And here I'm crying. My chest is hurting. I've got chill bumps from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And it was God speaking to me. Didn't know it was. I didn't know. I never heard God speak to me. And I told you the story 100 times. I sat through it, made it through it, and then the little girl stood up behind me, sung a song, and I just told myself, if somebody would have sung one more song, I'd have got up and walked out, and I did. I got up and walked out. I've never been the same. But what if that girl would have never sung that song? Amen. What if she had just sat on it and said, you know what, they've sung enough tonight. I'll sing tomorrow night. I wouldn't have come back the next night. I can guarantee you one thing. After the feeling that I felt that night, there's no, you couldn't have paid me to come back and sit in that seat. But she stood up and sung that song. And God knew what I was thinking. God knew. God gave me just what I was asking for. What if? So if God hadn't let the children of Israel get through the Red Sea and continue to live, I don't think we'd have ever had the chance to be saved. But He opened up the doors for the Gentiles. He opened up the doors for everybody. What if? And the last one is Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, we're going to start around verse 12. And Pilate answered and said unto them, what will you then have I should do unto whom you call the King of the Jews? And they cried out, crucify Him. Then Pilate said unto them, why? What evil has He done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify Him. And so Pilate, willing to contend the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged Him to be crucified. And the soldiers led Him away into the hall, and they called together the whole band, and they clothed Him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about His head. And they began to salute Him, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote Him upon His head with a reed and did spit upon Him. And bowing their head, they're bowing their knees, they worshiped Him. The Son of God took the form of man, came to the earth through a virgin womb, lived a sinless and flawless life for 33 and a half years, never making a sin, never making a fault. Let them take Him. Let them falsely accuse Him. Let them spit on Him. Let them pluck His beard. Let them place the crowns of thorn upon His head. Let them strip Him naked. And let them make fun of Him. Said that they bowed down on their knees and worshiped Him and said, oh, hell, King of the Jews. They didn't mean it. They didn't think He was real. Not only that, they let Him go up Golgotha's mountain carrying His cross. They beat Him beyond recognition. I believe the hide was off His back. I believe the hide was off His face. The Bible even says that you couldn't even recognize that He was a man. He carried that cross to the top of the hill. He laid that cross down. He stretched out His arms as far as the east is from the west and let them nail Him to a cross. They then stood that cross between the heavens and the earth, and He hung there in the awfulest pain, in the awfulest agony that you could ever imagine. There's no worse way of punishment than to be crucified. You drowned in your own blood. And He hung there. And He had people going by and wagging their heads and saying, oh yeah, you saved all these other people and you can't save yourself. You said that you was going to tear down this temple and you was going to build it back in 3 days and you can't even get yourself down off a cross. They laughed at Him. They made a mockery out of Him. And He got to the point where He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? And it said that He gave up the ghost and He died. It said that the whole earth got dark for a void of about 3 hours. There was a great earthquake, and inside the temple, this great veil rent from top to bottom. From top to bottom, this veil rent.
and tore because there was no need for a high priest anymore. But what if God hadn't died that day? There'd be no hope for us. We would still need that veil. We would still need that high priest. We would still need the things of the world. But praise God, He did die that day. He said, "It is finished." And when He said, "It is finished," He meant, "It is finished." There is no more need for sacrifices. I am the Alpha, the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the one that can save you from your sin.
Amen.
It's finished. Man, 3 days after that, Mary and Martha had a bag of spice and myrrh, and they was coming to anoint the body, and it said that they even talked amongst themselves and said, "How in the world are we going to get this stone out of the way? We need to do this." Hastily, they run up to the stone. They look where Jesus had been. The stone was rolled away, and it said that a man sat there in white apparel. And he looked at Mary and Martha and said, "Do you seek Jesus Christ? He's not here. He is risen. The one that you laid here 3 days ago is not dead anymore. He's alive."
Amen.
I believe that with all my heart. I really do. This morning, I believe that Jesus Christ is alive and well. He sits at the right hand of God, and He listens to me this morning. But you know that who He's waiting for right now? If you're sitting in here and you're lost, I prayed with everything in me this morning that God would speak to your heart.
Amen.
That you would just feel that tug, and you have to know that it's God. Nobody else can do it to you. And God is speaking to you. But what if? What if this is your last call? Rosie, how old was your son?
25.
I got called by a woman that I didn't know and asked to do a funeral for somebody that I didn't know for 25 years old. He died in a car wreck. At first, I thought about saying no because I didn't know him. And then I thought, well, what if I don't? Somebody else might not either. I went and preached the man's funeral, and we took him and laid him in the ground. There's a lot of what ifs in life. What if you're next? If I die before I make it to that door, don't be sad for me.
Amen.
I'm going to a place that's far, far better. I like it when the old writer said, "Hey, I'm stuck between the fix. I don't know whether to go or whether to stay. I've got it good both ways, but if I go, I know that it's far better."
Amen.
Friends, if you're in here and you don't know where you're going, I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that where you're going, you'll beg, you'll plead, you'll do everything within your power to ask to get out of that place with no hope.
Amen.
And that place is called hell. As somebody comes and gets us a verse song, I'm done.